Hello and welcome to another episode of You May or May Not Like It. On today's episode, Brian, Mike, and I had a chance to sit down and chat with Keith Powell, who you might remember from 30 Rock. He played Twofer. Well, since then, he has been working on a web series called Keith Broke His Leg, which you can find at getbroken.com. So, you know, we've watched it, we've reviewed it. So now we're going to discuss, you know, how that all came about and what his plans are for the future. Just a little FYI, there was some slight technical difficulties about, you know, a minute and a half in. So there's a weird little cut, but overall it went really well and we hope you enjoy it. That is correct. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Good, good. So, yeah, of course, I'm Scott. I'm here with Mike, who you've been talking with on Facebook, right?
Hi.
Yes, hi. And hi, Mike.
We are also here with Brian.
And Brian. Hi, Mike and Brian. Scott, Mike, Brian.
Keith, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. By the way, if you hear me throughout this, reprimand my dog, because he's in the room with me.
We have one, too, but she's quiet.
For now.
What's that?
I said we have a dog too, but she's sleeping.
Oh yeah, no. This dog is a puppy, so he is anything but quiet. So, if you hear me say no, it might not be to you. It might be to the dog.
Could be either way.
Yeah. Perfect. No. But what's up? Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Well, yeah. Well, first off, we appreciate the fact that you took the time out of your day to sit down with us here for a few. But
that's my pleasure.
Yeah, we actually, I believe you followed me on Twitter, where we followed each other, and then I saw you were pushing your web series. So I sat down later that night and we watched it, which
thank you
would be Keith Broke His Leg, which. Just throwing it out there really quick. I was familiar with you from 30 Rock, so you know once I knew you had a web series out, I pretty much jumped on it immediately because, you know, I was a fan.
Thank you very much.
I guess, like, my first question about the web series, and I'm sure you've got it before, is how closely does this parallel your actual life, or was this all completely scripted out of your head?
Everything but breaking my leg, it's pretty close.
Everything but the entire thing it's all about.
What I always like to say about the show is that it's as if I put the events of my life into a blender and hit puree. I mean, it's pretty much every line has actually happened, but just not in the order that it happens in the show. So,
yeah, you were talking about possibly expanding.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in its incarnation now, I would want to only keep it as a web series. But I do have ideas as to if it were to move into a series, how it would do that and what kind of structure it would be. It just depends on, you know, what interest is out there. I'm not going to make any assumptions.
I was going to ask, aside from just full creative control, what benefits do a web series provide that, say, a network or like something like Netflix doesn't?
I actually think full creative control is the best reason. I mean, I think that this show is unequivocally my voice. It is 100% my voice. It is an exercise that I would make is that I only gave myself an opportunity to do one rewrite. So I didn't have to overthink it. For each script, I got to work with my friends. I got to cast my wife.
Who actually is pretty awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that she's actually my wife.
Yeah, I did read that. I was actually surprised. But yeah, she's great in it.
She is wonderful, and I'm so proud of her. And to be honest with you, you know, and Jill will tell you this, Jill didn't like the script. She didn't understand it when she read it. And she held off a couple of days telling me that she read the script because she was afraid to tell me how much she didn't like it. And then, you know, when she told me, I said, I had a feeling that you wouldn't like it. Just trust me, it's going to work out. And she went along with it, and she did it. And then, of course, she, like, you know, ends up running away with the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she definitely steals a few episodes.
She really does. And then when she saw it all edited together, she goes, oh, that's what you were doing. And, you know, honestly, if this show were on, you know, network, the stakes would have been too high. And that would not have happened. And I would not have been able we would not have been able to have the creative freedom to do the show that we wanted to do in the way that we wanted to do it, because there had just been too much money involved and too many eyeballs on it. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that I love the fact that the show came together organically like that. And we wouldn't have been able to do it if the stakes were any higher.
It probably would work out better that way too, because now that you're gonna, you know, you've got the following with the web series, they might try to, you know, if it does expand somewhere else, they might try to, you know, keep their hands off it, yeah, and just kind of let you do your thing.
That is the hope. I mean, that's the reason why I made the web series, so that when I approach networks or distributors, I can do it with confidence and say, you know, I know what I'm doing and I know how to make it good. You know, I had a meeting with Warner Brothers, who nothing came of it. That's why I can tell you about it. I had a meeting with Warner Brothers, who they wanted to meet with me just because they were fans of the show. And I loved that. You know, I loved talking to people about the show who appreciated, you know, just how precious the whole thing was, and in terms of how we made it, that was completely outside of a studio system.
So when it comes to what your plans may be for season two, are you planning on keeping them about 10 minutes long? Are you thinking maybe about expanding that to maybe 20 minutes?
No, I'd like to keep it about 10 minutes long. Okay. You know, I've been asked if I was going to expand it. And frankly, we'll see what comes out in the writing process. The stories, I never gave myself a time limit. When I wrote the first season, so for each episode, I never gave myself a time limit. So I think I'm gonna just do the same thing this time. But you know, the episode called Chocolate was 20 something minutes long when I in its first edit, and I cut it down to 13 minutes. You know, the first episode, Pornhole, was about 16 minutes, and we cut it
that
down.
Still might be the best name for an episode, right? Just FYI. Yeah,
thank you very much. I'm quite proud of coming up with that, to be honest with you, because it sounds dirty, but it also sounds, but it's also not. Like, you think it's going to be dirty, but you can get away with saying it. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
No, the episode makes sense, and the title is perfect for it.
Yeah.
Now, so anyway, so that's it's so funny because I remember the first season of 30 Rock, we didn't know if we were going to be on the air from week to week, and there was an episode where my character calls Tracy's character the N-word, and everybody gets upset, and Tina. So we had shot the episode, but we were waiting to release the episode. And Tina Fey, what happened during that time was in between us shooting the episode and releasing the episode, what's his name, Michael Richards? Seinfeld guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
Oh, is that when he went on his?
Yeah, his racist tirade in a stand-up club, and Tina pressured the network to release that episode so that it was timely.
Oh,
right. Yeah, so she was because she was rushing because she was like, someone's going to make fun of it. Someone's going to make fun of it. We have to be the first people to make fun of it. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I say all this to say, when I thought of the title for Pornhole, I was rushing to get it out because I was like, nobody's thought of this. Someone, I got to get it out before anybody thought of it.
I mean, honestly, every time I see it, I laugh. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I wanted to ask, because you mentioned Warner Brothers had liked the series. I don't know how this necessarily works. Did they find the series on their own? Do they have people that look for things on the web to kind of start the meeting process? Or,
you know what? It's the thing about Hollywood is that you throw a billion things against the wall and see if it sticks. And so I'm to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure how they came across it. My agents have been talking to them about other things, might have mentioned the show, but that office didn't call me. I've been talking to them about some things. I mentioned the show, but that office didn't call me. I have friends who work at Warner Brothers, but it wasn't from their office. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's one of those things is where it's just like, a million things could have happened and you honestly don't question it anymore because everything is just so weird here.
Yeah. And it could have been just one of the guys was just perusing the internet. And
that's,
stumbled.
That is 100% likely.
Yeah.
Or it could have been your very aggressive Twitter campaign.
That's true too.
Oh my God. Well, you know, it's so funny because I resisted it for so long. Someone suggested it to me at the very beginning to follow people who might watch the series and then send them a note. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do it because I thought it was too aggressive. And then they told me, just try it for a month. And I tried it for a month. And in that month, I gained 10,000 new followers.
Wow.
And 10,000 new people who watched the show.
Yeah, that's
when I was like, well, I have to keep at it.
Yeah.
So you do your Twitter all yourself?
I have help, but I write all the tweets myself, and I try to respond to private messages, but I'm not always capable of that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's got to be you. Got to be.
I get about 150 private messages a day. So I can't.
It's ridiculous that I even got a hold of you.
Honestly, like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, because I'm randomly scrolling through them and I'm trying to answer as many people as possible. And you know, so, like, it's just at what time of day you sent it and at what time of day I was looking at it.
Right. Just, you know. Luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Hey, man.
It's Hollywood. Thanks. We don't question anything.
I'll take lucky any day over
being good. Listen, I thank you for being patient with me because I always felt really bad. At the very beginning, I felt really, really bad that I didn't respond to people. So I was responding to everyone one by one.
Yeah, that's got to take up
and
time, though.
It started taking up about 3 hours of my day.
And then after so many of people asking you how do you feel about websites, it was just like, oh, I can't answer any more of these.
Well, honestly, and then it was a lot of it was, how did you find me to follow you? And it got to the point where I'm just like, I can't answer this in a unique way anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like the answer is,
it's hard to make an individual comment.
The Twitter gods told me that you were, you know, to follow you that you might like the show. So I followed you. That is the very simple answer to it.
Yeah.
So if I asked you why you followed me, you couldn't give me a.
I wouldn't be able to give you any different answer than that.
Was that handsome profile picture?
Like, I know you got other stuff going on today, so I don't know how long you want to ramble.
No, we can keep going for another like I don't know, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. Perfect. Well, if you don't mind, I was actually looking around, you know, the interwebs and saw you. You had quite a bit of, you know, previous experience in, say, theater.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering if you had any plans to maybe bring, you know, bring that back to light somehow. Maybe even turn this into a weird play of some sorts.
No. The short answer is no. Theater was a very significant part of my life for a time. Theater has been a place that I got very discouraged from and dispirited from continuing on. So I have no plans to go back to the theater, even though I love the theater and many of my friends are still working in the theater. That being said, I did mention to my wife the other day, I said, wouldn't it be really great if you and I went on tour and did some weird version of a Keith Broke His Leg live? And she's like, you have to sell me on that a little bit more. I don't understand what that means. My wife is always skeptical of my crazy ideas.
Sounds like it.
I mean,
she always gets on board with it. She always gets on board. And I said, I actually can't sell you on it because I have no idea what that means myself. But that was as far as we got with the conversation.
Is your theater background more like classical theater, or is it like Upright Citizens Brigade or Groundlings type theater?
No, it's more classical theater. I never did Upright Citizens Brigade or Second City or Comedy Sports. I fell into working in comedy. I wasn't immediately a comedian. I was doing Shakespeare. I was doing you know, Shakespeare, really deep, dark, heavy Shakespeare plays. And then once I got cast on 30 Rock, no one ever wanted to cast me in anything serious again.
They found out you were funny, and that was the end of it, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. I have a confession to make, though. The other two guys, they actually watch 30 Rock religiously, and I honestly probably have seen 5 episodes, and until Scott showed me Keith Broke His Leg, I actually didn't know who you were.
You know what? I'll forgive you.
I mean, but instantly...
are actually going to defriend him later.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can, but I mean... And, well, like you were saying a while back, you know, you were kind of... you know, trying to get people into the show, and I guess my point is, you got a new fan based just solely off the web series, you know, people that weren't into that.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I mean, the people who run numbers estimated that we picked up about 3,000 new fans who had nothing to do with 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a number I would like to... you know, quadruple.
Definitely.
I don't know. I'd like to get a lot more people behind that, and that was always the thought, is to bring in new fans. You know, do you know who Pamela Adlon is?
Yes,
she is on Louis. She's a frequent collaborator of Louis C.K.
Oh yeah, okay,
and she. She has her own show coming out on FX that is produced by Louis, called Better Things. It's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Pamela is you. Pamela had never seen 30 Rock and emailed me out of the blue. I'd never met Pamela before.
Mm-hmm.
But she emails me, you know, through my website and says, I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan of the show and I never knew who you were before. And oh my God, is this so amazing? Do you live in Los Angeles? Can I take you to coffee?
Wow.
And I had coffee with her, and all Pamela wanted to do was talk about all the moments in the show. and it was so surreal because I'm like, because, you know, Louis and Pamela are people that I have always been so in awe of and so impressed by, and for them to turn around and then be impressed by the things that I've done, it was a genuine fan moment. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool.
Except you were thinking that she wanted to collaborate on something when she just wanted to fan out on you, really, is all she wanted.
Well, I didn't, you know what, honestly, especially in this town, like, you don't walk into meetings with preconceived notions because when you do, they're always wrong. Always, always, always. So I didn't have any expectations. I was just like, who is this lady? Why does she want to talk to me? What am I going to say? But she's just a lovely person, and I, you know, honestly, it was really fulfilling to have someone who had just never seen the show, like, you know, knew nothing about me, be a genuine fan of the show, because it means that someone is a fan of my artistry.
Right. Yeah.
That is incredibly flattering and humbling.
Yeah.
So.
Having gotten to talk to her, what are some, like, dream guests you'd like to get for future seasons of this web series?
I try not to think about it like that because I do write the show. I do write the show with people in mind, but those people are frequently not available.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Well, and like you said, it was mostly just your real life friends, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, they're not, like all my real life friends are actors who work and travel.
Right.
And I try to cast them in the roles that they actually have played in my life. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know, and then when they're not there, I have to go back. Or when they're not available, I have to go back and rewrite all the lines for the person.
Oh, yeah, right. For specific to who it is and how they would
exactly,
be.
Exactly. So I don't like to, like, generally telegraph who it is because just by sheer fact of, you know, I'm afraid I'll get rejected. It's off. It's just pure fear of rejection.
I couldn't even, you know, and that's a thing too. I couldn't even imagine how often people probably have told you no, right?
Oh, I mean, you know, that's the thing. We won, the show won 2 indie series awards last month, and it's a very, you know, it's a web-based award. It's pretty prestigious, and we won. I won Best Actor, and the show won Best Comedy Series. And the thing about it, in the speech that I gave, I said, you know, we live in a business. As an artist, you live in a business of no. Everyone says no to you at all times, and it starts to become very dispiriting because it's just I describe it as an avalanche of no's. And Louise Rainer, I believe that's her name, or Wilson, or Louise Fletcher. Louise Fletcher, the Oscar-winning actress, she played Nurse Ratched on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Great movie.
Louise Fletcher describes it as rejection is something that you eat with your breakfast every day. And doing a web series is a glorious yes, because no one is there to say no to you.
Right.
And so that's why I like doing it, and that's why I always protect, you know, the casting of it, the making of it, just because I want to be able to call on my friend who is available when they're available, and you know, not pressure anybody to do the show if they can't. The web series is very much a reaction to all the no's that I've gotten, and I want to preserve the fact that it's a bunch of yeses for me.
You know what? I have one more kind of, I guess, fan moment from the show, and it's about another scene stealer. The guy that played, the episode is Mellow, maybe? Is that the karaoke one?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Malcolm.
Malcolm Barrett.
That guy.
Isn't he amazing?
I'm not joking. I'm 90% sure he was the only guy in that episode. Like he,
he says the least, actually.
I know. I'm telling you, and just everything out of his head is just genius in that. And I don't know if that was just all you. I mean, both of you. And I'm assuming he is your friend.
Like Malcolm, I've known Malcolm since I was 18 years old.
Yeah, that's like ridiculous. Actually, yeah. And the funny thing is, now that I've seen the series, that guy does all kinds of commercials.
He's in everything.
He's in every commercial there is on TV right now.
Malcolm gets a pilot every year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's pretty good. I couldn't believe, like...
He's amazing.
I mean, I know I'm kind of dorking out right now, but the guy was... I like him.
You know the show Better Off Ted?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know that I've seen it.
He was in Better Off Ted for 2 years, but Malcolm shot a pilot this year. Malcolm is always working.
Wow.
And Malcolm and I've known Malcolm for, you know, and I'm not going to say that Malcolm is exactly like that character, but I am going to say there was no one else I thought of for it.
Yeah, he was, I don't know, I just, like I said, I just wanted to nerd out for like a minute, because that guy, every time, I always make sure I watch that episode, and I always forget the name of that one.
I'm not going to say that marijuana smoking was real, but I'm also not going to say that Malcolm was completely sober.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like a cool dude to have around, for sure.
I'd love him to death. You know, he's one of my dearest friends. We respect each other so much, because Malcolm is one of those people who shows up and like knocks out his line, and you know, doesn't complain, doesn't fuss. He says the thing, and he goes, "I'm going to give you some variations on it." He is a consummate professional. And I so appreciate that when we only have like 2 hours to shoot a scene. Mm-hmm. And you know, Malcolm hugged me at the end of it and said to me, "Thank you so much for writing this character and giving me the opportunity to express some things that I've been wanting to say, but I've been not being able to articulate." So in a lot of ways, like, it was cathartic for us. You know, for people who are activists in the Black Lives Matter movement, it was so cathartic to do a comedy bit about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it played well. You know what I mean? And that's the other thing about the series. You hit a couple of issues in a few of the episodes, and the way you hit them, I don't know that you could do it. Again, I don't want to overflatter you here, but I'm gonna probably. I don't know that you could do it any better in the way it's comes out smooth. You keep it light, you keep it funny, but you actually hit some topics that are relevant and out there. You know what I mean?
That is actually the hope of the show. I mean, I believe in you have to earn your jokes. Mm-hmm. Keeping it light when you talk about serious things is a way to earn the joke, you know?
Yeah.
The show was always an emotional experience for me in terms of the stories that I wanted to tell, and I never wanted to just do a silly episode. You know, even the episode that my manager, who's actually one of the producers on the show, said was the silliest, and that there's no real reason to release it. It's so silly. And I said, no, I really think it talks about something. Is the episode is called Soothsayer, where, you know, basically I go to a psychic and then I get beat up by my inner child.
I remember that.
And, you know, what I actually really love about that episode is the cut to black in that episode at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird to say it, but you know, the structure of the episode is that, you know, that I can't get into a hammock, right? And then I, you know, because I have a broken, I have a cast on my leg, I'm having a difficult time getting into a hammock. And I fall and I break my neck and stuff like that. And then I go and see a psychic, and the psychic tells me that the reason why I'm so accident prone is because my inner child hates me. And I go, you know, and I dismiss it. And then I finally get into the hammock. I go back home. I finally get into the hammock and I fall asleep. And then my inner child, you know, says, "You think you're so great, don't you?" and I go, "Yeah, actually, I think I'm amazing." And then the inner child beats me up. And when I wake up, I say, "Fuck that kid." And then my wife comes to wish me a happy birthday. And as I blow out my candles, it cuts to black. And then there's a song that I love. And I think it's the best song to end an episode, called Generals. And it's a fight song, mm-hmm. right? It's a song about standing up to the man or fighting through something. And what I love about that episode is that there's an emotional journey there, right? It's an emotional journey, I think, of someone who does himself in because of his overconfidence, and he hurts himself, but he decides to fight through it and rewrite his own future. In a new birthday, and I find that to be an emotional journey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's silly, and then I, you know, like I get, you know, like a, you know, the inner child actually kicks me, right. You know, like, and the psychic goes through her weird histrionics to get to what she needs to say, but there's actually an emotional journey in that, and I want that for the whole series.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you hit that for sure. I mean. And hearing you describe an episode only just makes them even funnier to me, to be honest, because
thanks.
As you're telling us, me and Scott and Brian here are, I mean, literally laughing, trying to not laugh over you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super proud of it.
Other favorite episode that you do is the Ballers episode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Baller. Well, I want to talk to you about that because...
That's like my favorite one. Maybe. Well, I don't know.
I always wonder, frankly, I'm going to make assumptions about you guys.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that you're white.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Pretty good.
And I get a lot of my friends. That's the episode that I feel like that I do the best acting in. But I only get that from my black friends. Mm-hmm. My white friends think I work better in some other episodes. But it makes me wonder about the arc of the character arc, because he goes through such a struggle about identity, going through identity. And it makes me wonder if it's a universal theme or not, and I'm genuinely asking you guys, what do you see? What do you like about the episode that made you mention it?
Well, for me personally, it was just, again, even when your agent initially asks you, you kind of explain to her like, yeah, that's not, it's not my thing. You know, and she's like, "Oh yeah, no problem." You like talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, I forget how exactly she words it, but she kind of like blows you off and says, "You're mm-hmm. hood now." I think that is that the word
yeah.
she uses. Hood.
Yeah.
Go hood on it or something. Something
yeah, yeah,
to that
yeah.
effect.
Get a little ghetto with it.
Right. And and the way she was telling you, and
actual
you're like,
words someone said to me once. By mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah, and you even kind of mention like. By the way, that's offensive. And she runs right over that too. You know what I mean? And just keeps, you know, just like you're the guy and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is like, I'm assuming, as you said, that that's happened to you or something to that effect or, yeah. And I just, the way you dealt with it, I don't want to say was funny, but like it was honest, and like we said earlier, you kind of keep it light and smooth and keep it rolling, so it sort of all came out the right way, I guess. Without,
yeah, you know, the episode was written in as such a struggle with identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Belonging to no camp. You know, my wife is black, but she's light skinned black, and my wife always goes, you know, white people see me as black, and therefore other. And black people see me as too light-skinned to be black, and therefore as other. Mm. And so I never really identify with anything. And my life has always been, you know, white people see me as black, and black people see me as trying to pass because of the way I talk. And so therefore I never really identify as other. And I always go, but that's ignoring the shades of an entire culture and of an entire identity. And so my thing is that I'm neither. I'm not trying to pass, but I'm allowed to be articulate, and I'm still allowed to be black and articulate at the same time. It's not an oxymoron.
Right.
And, you know, I was born in not the best neighborhood. I was born in West Philadelphia. I lived in poor neighborhoods. My mother would kill me to tell you, but my mother was on welfare. But I've always talked like this. I've always acted like this. It's not indicative. Race has nothing to do. Race, class has nothing to do with each other. I mean, they do have something to do with each other, but they don't necessarily have something to do with each other. And that's an education. I'm going to fold into that as well. And so I wanted that episode to be about finding identity through it. And I think that my favorite moment of the show is when I throw the crutches away and I walk down the driveway with a limp.
Right.
And I'm walking down the driveway because it's so weird. It's such a weird moment. I'm walking down the driveway with a limp because I have a fucking crutch, like a fucking cast on my leg.
Right, right.
But it's portrayed as if I'm doing like a gangster limp.
Right, you know what I mean? Whole end scene, you know, and then the dog. That's... And then the
fight with the dog who poops on my lawn.
Right.
Right. And, you know, this is a subtle thing in that episode that I don't think anybody really ever picks up. And I think that that's a failing of me as a director. And if I were to ever reshoot that, if I were to ever do that episode again, I would shoot it in a different way. But the dog actually, the racist neighbor's dog actually doesn't poop on the lawn. The racist neighbor's dog picks up the other guy's dog poop.
Oh.
Right. And
the poop earlier.
Yeah, he picks up the poop from earlier. It's not entirely clear in the episode, but that is kind of what I wanted for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that there would be another layer of he's trying to make up for past sins,
right?
You know, yeah. So I really love, I really love the transformation that the character goes through. I'm going to submit this episode for an award, so that's why I want to talk about it.
Good.
That's all right.
No, that's perfect. Like I said, it's
why you're here.
It's definitely, it's one of my favorites for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love the character arc of it, and I love what the character comes to at the end. The peace that he comes to. I find it to be such a cathartic episode.
Well, when you got so many people, especially, you know, in this country who don't take into account the way other people might feel about things like that. And it's just,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if you are familiar with Aziz Ansari's latest Netflix show.
Master of None is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, they did a very similar thing with the whole Indian thing, you know, and they always want the accent. Like, why? Why? That's not how, you know, and it's, you know, they really kind of match up really well. And, you know, but it's, yeah, it's just.
I love Aziz Ansari's show. I found it so emotionally fulfilling. I thought, I just loved everything about it. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. It was, it was a pleasant surprise, you know.
I agree. Yeah.
So much out there nowadays, though, you know.
Oh, there's too much.
There's a lot of content out there.
We were just talking about this ourselves. Every time you open up Netflix or click on something, there's three new series and a new movie. I actually
would love to do an episode of Keith Broke His Leg about that. Just the proliferation of content.
Yeah, just the overload of it all.
Yeah. And then, you know, here I am asking to be one of those.
Right. Here I am, peddling.
But you'd be making fun of it, so then you got that whole irony going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm actually writing that down right now. I'm telling you, I'm writing it down as an idea.
Nice.
So. Well, I mean, if you want to collaborate on some more stuff, I mean,
yeah.
we're full of
bad ideas. Jill will probably hate it.
Yeah, I've got a thing about a talking dolphin or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I might use that.
I guess, unless you got anything else you want to discuss or plug or anything.
Just, you know, watch the show at getbroken.com.
Yeah, we'll probably share this out all over the place, and we'll put a link right to getbroken.com right on there.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. I love getting the word out about the show.
And to be honest, Keith, you know, we're not peddling it just because you're cool. We're peddling it because we love it. We really do.
That's so sweet of you. Series. Thank you. So. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of the show, and I'm very happy that it connects to people because, you know, even my wife was like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about it is, you know, it's funny, but it's done in such an organic way that, you know, it's super relatable. I mean, it's not like you're just throwing jokes in people's faces, you know, like the typical, like, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, some of the movies you see out there. You're not just throwing everything for something to stick. You know, it's really.
Yeah, 10 jokes and 4 are funny.
Yeah. You know, it's an organic writing style. God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It's what I wanted to do. I believe in the earned joke.
Yeah.
So that you start it neutral, you don't assume that an audience should start laughing at you. You have to build the reasons why they laughed into it.
Yeah, it's definitely a fantastic job. So
thank you very much, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, and we appreciate you coming on. And, of course, the channel will always be open if you want to come back and plug some more.
Next time for season 2, though, maybe we'll interview Jill.
I would love that.
She would probably hate it, right? Probably no. think it's a bad idea.
It's so funny because Jill now is – I mean, Jill has always been my biggest cheerleader. And that's why she goes, I don't get it, but I'm going to do it. And Jill put her all into it. But now Jill's like, oh, no, when you have that little pause there, I totally know what that means.
Yeah, she really does. She steals a
She does. She steals the show. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, the dinner with the vegans, she kills that episode.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that episode.
She was nominated for Best Actress for the series awards for that episode. If you look at her screen time, in that episode, it is about all of like 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Like maybe 3 minutes of this 8-minute episode. No, 10-minute episode. And she walks away with it. Yeah. And I was so proud of her because I go, like, you were nominated as a leading actress for such a small part because you so dominate the episode in such a great way. I was so proud of her.
Yeah. Let everybody know that definitely some fans here of all of the other actors that played parts, like I said, Malcolm, Jill, all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the people,
Fiona and Alex, who play the vegans, are dear friends of ours, and they're actually vegan, and I love them to death.
Are they really?
I love them. I love them. I love them. I love them. Yeah, they really are. And I was so nervous when I gave them the script.
That's it. That dinner scene is so perfectly uncomfortable. I mean, it's ridiculously uncomfortable.
My favorite joke in that episode is a joke that, you know, like a lot of people go, oh yeah, it's funny, but I don't know why it just makes me giggle so much when Jill offers Fiona pepper.
Fiona's response is
no thanks. What is it?
Yeah, she doesn't want the extra calories.
She doesn't want the extra calories. I don't know why.
I know. You just want to jump over the table and strangle her.
Like, it just makes me giggle so much.
Yeah, and no, then, I actually laugh every time I see that. That's that dinner scene. That's another one of my favorite. It's hard to pick a favorite, to be honest, Keith.
No, thank you.
Really,
but the dinner scene is so fun. It's so fun because then there's like it's like they really do a Martha Stewart dick measuring contest.
Yeah. What's the flowers they're talking about? Lavender or something?
Lavender, like a lavender bush.
Yeah.
And Jill did that with someone else in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And I go, because, you know, like my wife is like a crazy artist. Like she has a big afro and she sits in her pajamas and paints all day. And like, you know, she's like a crazy artist. And then all of a sudden to see her like start talking about like lavender bushes with someone, I'm like, who is this person that I married?
Right.
It's amazing. It's so fun to like. It was so fun to write that scene because there was just so many little jokes there that I wanted to get in, like, you know, the conversation. I've actually gotten into a conversation about how much a pool in Los Angeles costs to add. Like the whole thing is very weird. It's very weird, and that's what I love about it. Thank you. Anyway, I'm moving on. I have to go.
No problem.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, we don't want to keep you.
Thanks for talking with me about it.
Well, I also do want to mention really quick, you do have probably the greatest URL on the face of the planet, Powell to the People. That is amazing, by the way. Just wanted to...
Wait, oh, Powell to the People?
Yes. I'm not kidding. I tell everybody about that.
That's such a great name.
This is the best website name right here. So follow this.
You know what? It's real quickly, I tell you, tried to get paltothepeople.com. It's paltothepeople.net. But I tried to get paltothepeople.com. I got in touch with the person who owns it, because if you go to paltothepeople.com, it doesn't show up any website. But there is a person who owns it and is holding on to it. And they've been holding on to it for the past 10 years.
Really?
Boo.
Yeah. And I tried to get it from them, and they turned out to be such a crazy person.
Really?
Because he then started trying to pitch me. He told me no, that he wasn't going to give it to me. And then he tried to pitch me a movie about the lost Beatle.
Really?
That he is like personal friends with. And then he pointed me to a website of his where it has all of this crazy pants, like obsessive Beatles.
Really?
Tributes, and how they screwed over some dude that was not even in the like popular lexicon of Beatles lore. You know what I mean? Like just some random Brit. And I went, that's way too much crazy for me. I'm just going
quick.
Powell2thepeople.net.
Yeah. So it's not Clarence then?
Yeah.
It's not Clarence Powell?
No, Clarence from the Saturday Night Live skit with Eddie Murphy.
No, it's not. It's not. I know what skit you're talking about. No, it was just some random dude.
That's weird.
I don't understand. I don't get it. Honestly, it was so weird that I had to like step away from it. So
that is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways, we'll let you get to your thing.
I still would like to buy .com from him.
Yeah, we'll let you get to your daily stuff. Take the puppy out.
Yes.
And all that good stuff.
Well, definitely, I can't wait for season 2. And if you want to come back and talk about that when you get it started, you're more than welcome. Just let us know.
Absolutely.
Other than that, we appreciate the fact that you sat down with us today.
It's my pleasure.
And, all right, and take care. I'm going to go watch 30 Rock probably next week.
You should. You should. It's a good show. You'll reward
it. That's what I heard. I do remember from the newsroom, though, now, too.
I didn't know you then,
and I had to check. And
no, listen.
It was actually great.
Aaron Sorkin is a badass. And the fact that he asked me to do the show, I actually was so shocked. I didn't believe it at first. So, I love him to death.
That show was amazing. I wish they kept it going.
Yeah, you know, I think Aaron was writing all the episodes, and I think that he was just getting burnt out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Stay on topic here.
Yeah, it's all good. All right.
Well, yeah, like I said, thanks a lot.
Yeah, have a good day, man.
Bye-bye.
See ya.